Yo, 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 it's your boy Michael Trill Tayo, and I'm here with the Ghetto Flower, Fresh Flower Podcast. You already know what it is. Got a very special guest today, very special episode, but I'm going to introduce my co-host. You already know what he is.
What's going on?
Q, you already know what's good.
Hey, so I'm gonna kick this episode off, but first, you know, I just want to give a little background to our special guest today. She's someone that came across our radar pretty recently, and she's definitely climbing up her names in the ranks of underground artists in Chicago. So I'll stop talking, but I just want to introduce the one and only BB Subi.
Yo, what's up? What's up?
Thank you for coming through. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. How you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling good. How you feeling?
I feel good. I feel good. Another day at the Foxhole. Shout out Logan. Shout out the engineer in the back. But now I'm feeling good. Q, how you feeling?
I'm decent. We got you here today because you dropped a project recently, and our homie Don, part of the Ghetto Flower, shout out Don, he put us on to your music, and he told us about your release party.
Bro, and, why y'all ain't slack?
Yeah. He told us about your release party, but we actually had to. We actually had to do something the next day because we went to. It was a Nia J's release party. Actually,
yeah,
we went
to, too.
And we had to do. We did a Q&A there, so.
Okay.
So yeah, so Don slid there and he told us everything about it because he slid.
Was representing for y'all. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. You shout out me, Don. You feel me? Shout out Don. So he slid there and he told us everything and all the good shit he had to say. So like, just tell us about the release party and like how that kind of came.
It was live. I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't even gonna do it at first because that was my first time hosting my own event,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like it's a lot of stuff that go into it that's kind of difficult. Like,
mm-hmm.
and then just the stress of like, oh, this is my first time hosting some, so this is my first time seeing who's really like gonna come out for real,
out,
and
right.
like
mm-hmm.
also just the experience of like showing your work to everybody and like they never heard it before. It's just like it's
right.
kind of it just made me really nervous. But shout out to my girl because she really was pushing me to do it. Like
mm-hmm.
she actually found the venue spot for it because that was one of the main things that I wasn't like locked. That wasn't locked in. It wasn't locked
mm-hmm.
in until like 2 days before type shit. So.
Right, yeah.
But it was dope. Like, it had a great turnout, like, more than I ever expected, especially because I had invited everybody real last minute, like I said, like, 2 days before. And
yeah.
it was wild. Like, I don't know. Everybody was vibing, and I got to see a whole bunch of, like, people that I've known my whole life, like, across the years. And also, I got to see people that I never knew, like, I didn't even know knew me type shit.
Damn,
so it was really
that's
cool.
That's what's up. Because this is what I always say, like, if you get, like, you know, 20 or so people in a room, like,
mm-hmm.
don't even trip on that shit. That's
for
powerful,
real.
Bro. Like,
yeah.
that's for real powerful because they could be doing anything that fucking day, like, for real. Anything
yeah.
in life that day, and they gonna
yeah.
pull up and show love.
That's real.
And that's crazy that they, you know, did that, you know, for your project. And, like, yeah, that's insane. So did you
yeah.
perform there?
I did. I wasn't even really supposed to do all of it, like, all that I did. Like, I was going, I had Icy Bands. He was on a tape, and
mm-hmm.
I had him open up, like, the listening party. He did a couple of songs. And then I was going to let the tape play. And then when our song came on, we was going to perform our song together. And then I would do, like, one other song or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we was having technical difficulties a little bit. So I'm like, man, I just got to perform every single song of this. So
uh-huh.
I just performed every single song. So it was real though.
How was
you
it?
Know,
like,
it was cool.
You're performing in front of those people for, like, the first time for that tape.
It was cool. Like, it was a small setting, so I didn't get to, like, overdo my performance. Like, I was just, like, basically feeding the lyrics to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't no stress on, like, keeping up with stamina or anything like that, for real. So it was just chill, and it was love, too, because seeing, like, the technical difficulties, it was kind of, like, annoying to me in the moment. But, like, seeing how everybody was reacting to it just gave me even more support and made me want to just keep going and just, like. And then, also, it was an open bar, so I was a little lit. So I'm like, I don't even care no more. Like, I'm just going to do this shit.
Have a good time. Fuck
yes. Yes.
So, like, what did you learn from that? Like, how can you make it better, like, next time? Because I feel like you should have some merch. That G-Shock. If you had
yeah.
some G-Shock hats there,
that's a lot of things.
Pop some off.
For real. I had some. The only thing I had for real was some posters up and some stickers. I wanted to have, like, some shirts made.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get some more of these made because I actually do have some hats left. But since, like I said, I feel like I didn't put enough I didn't have enough time to prep beforehand. Like, I think I was prepping for, like, at least, like, 2 weeks. But, like, with the merch, I was thinking, like, I still wasn't sure if I was going to have it. I'm like, oh, I don't know. So let me not put the money into getting the merch if I don't know if I'm finna still go through with this. So then by the time it was time, I had to focus on a whole bunch of other stuff that I didn't even get to get all the extra. And then another thing I would say that next time when I do a show for sure is a sound check, because that's what I didn't do. Mm-hmm. And I was just like hoping that everything would work out. And you really can't do that for real. Like you actually have to practice a little bit before like, and yeah. But outside of that, like, I think everything went well. But I do always think it's something that you could learn from, like, every experience you have or whatever, every show you throw, like, is something to learn, like, and to grow from type shit.
Yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. Because you're definitely starting off, you know, in the right way, for real. You know,
yeah,
having that release party, you know, having a dope project. And that's kind of like why I kind of want to, we're going to kind of go back and then we're going to go forward. You feel me?
Let's take it back. Let's take it back.
Yeah, so like, kind of like, what were like your influences? Because when we listen to the project, we were all like, there's a lot of, you know, different like sounds we're hearing. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So like, what kind of like were your influences, I guess, music-wise, we'll start off?
For this tape, I would say I don't really know, like, who I can say truly inspired me. I just wanted to be able to create my own sounds, really. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that I'm, like, I have an alternative sound in all my music. Whether, like, I always wanted to do, like, R&B and rap and stuff like that, but I didn't know that I wanted to do, like, an alternative take on all of that stuff till, like, a year ago or two years ago or whatever. So I wouldn't say, and honestly, I do listen to like alternative music, but not to the point where I could really sit and name people like that. I obviously like what's their names? I can't even think of their name right now. That's what you get when you let your heart win.
Look, bro, don't even know.
I have no idea who that is. I ain't gonna cap.
Paramore.
Paramore.
I fuck with Paramore hard. Like, I fuck with like a couple of different artists. I like Willow Smith, and I like Pink Panthers.
I
like
damn, how the fuck I did not get Paramore, bro? Damn, that was good.
How did I not get Paramore?
Right.
Like,
yeah,
I forgot
that was good.
Shit.
Wow.
How did you discover like that kind of music?
Honestly, like, my friends put me on when I was, like, in high school. They was playing Paramore, and they was dancing around. And I'm like, what is this? Because I was not used to it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, this is a vibe. Like, I need to tap in. But honestly, like, the main thing that I think is, like, I felt like I was good at writing that type of stuff.
Ooh.
And that was, like, when I was like, okay, I got to tap into, like, this. Because I can't, and I feel like I could be better at singing. But I know, like, my capabilities with belting and my capabilities with, like, melodies and stuff like that. And I felt like it was the perfect genre for my voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I want to write this. I want to write is my main thing. So whatever genre can fit my writing and can fit my voice is what I'm going to do. So I feel like that's really the inspiration behind it, is just pulling from what I know that I can do and my desire to create.
That's you definitely, like, you definitely broke it down very well. And like, what other, like, I guess, influences, like, did you have, like, when you were like, I guess before, like, 2 years ago, you know what I'm saying?
And even like outside of music as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I always been creative. Like, when I say I was young, like, I don't really know how I got into like being an artist for like when I was younger. Like, I don't know what made my mind go to that, but I would be inspired by, like, people like Billie Holiday, like, jazz and stuff like that. Like, because my mom would play it, but not that much. I was just, like, I just attached to it, and I just really liked it. And I would tell her, oh, I'm going to be a jazz singer one. I'm going to be a blues singer. Didn't even know what I was talking about, but I constantly was, like, trying to put myself in spaces to be creative. Like, I did theater. I did musical theater. I went to a art school for high school. It was called Shy Arts. And a lot of that stuff I feel like was just prep for me for right now. Also did poetry and stuff like that in elementary school. I think my first piece of writing I probably ever wrote, I was 9.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I was doing this stuff. Oh, and I also went to like a theater camp like for a couple of years every summer and stuff like that. So I was doing all of this stuff to like put forth my desire to be creative, but I never knew what I was going to do. Like, I never knew where I was going to take it. And mm-hmm. I always wanted to be a singer. That's what I knew for a fact. But I was always a little insecure about my voice. Like, insecure, like, do I have the voice to, like, actually keep people's attention? Like, mm-hmm. do I have the voice that's, like, going to put me in the game for real? Yeah. And I feel like all of that stuff really don't matter when you raw. Like, we get down to it because people using auto-tune, all type of stuff. Like, people doing all types of T-Pain. Like, mm-hmm. he really, like, set the stage for that. Like, you really don't have to. And then even the pop scene, like, all of these pop stars, they don't really have to be able to sound like Whitney Houston to go up for real. Yeah, so once yeah. I realized that, I really just started working and going crazy. I would say that I, like, as far as artists, like, I'm from Chicago, so seeing other artists, like, do their thing as far as, like, Kanye West, I would say Chance, Queen Key, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. all of these people, like, they inspire me because, like, you're seeing it firsthand. Like, you're seeing it with your own two eyes. Even mm-hmm. if you don't know them personally. Chief Keef, you seeing this stuff happening. You vibing with all of, like, you vibing with their music. And it's very inspiring. Like, mm-hmm. and, like, we don't, like, I don't feel like, also lucky, I don't really make the same type of music as these people. But they're from where I'm from. And they're showing me, like, I could do it. I could do this shit.
Right, exactly.
Like, I
could do this shit. Exactly. No, that's 100. That's 100.
Yeah.
And you bring up theater school. Like, what was you doing in theater school?
Bruh, like, for a long time, I thought that I was going to be on Broadway. I can't lie
to you. Really?
Yes. Like, I thought that was my life calling for a second. Like, I had, I did, like, at my grammar school, I would do all the plays. I joined, like, the actors workshop that they had there. And then I would audition to productions outside of school. And then, like I said, I was in theater camp and stuff. And when I was in theater camp, I met this girl who was older than me, and she was a counselor, and she was going to Shy Arts, which it's the Chicago High School for the Arts. Mm-hmm. And they have different, like, sections. They have different conservatories where everybody, like, that you audition to get into it. So I auditioned for creative writing and I auditioned for musical theater because, like I said, I knew I liked to write and I knew that I wanted to do some type of, like, showcase, like, I wanted to sing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I ended up getting into the musical theater program. So I was doing musicals my whole high school career. And then I went to college for theater, but that didn't really work out then. I just dropped out of college after a while. I'm like, I actually only got one semester left of college, but it was just like I wasn't forming the connections that I really wanted to and stuff like that. And I realized that I wanted to be like a comedian type of thing. Mm-hmm. When I was in college, I feel like, because that would be, in high school, that would be the main roles that I would get, was like the comedic relief and stuff like that. Right. But I'm like, if I'm going to do that in the future, I have to do music first so that people will take me serious.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, my mom told me that too. She was like, if you notice, like, the artists, like, some artists that are actors and singers, like, they didn't really start off as actors then what became mm-hmm. a singer. They usually singer,
way harder,
actor yeah. mm-hmm. type thing. So, yeah, so I just started going in on the music once I realized that.
Damn. So how long ago was that? You said about a year ago, 2 years ago?
When I started going in on the music. Yeah, like, so my first time getting in the studio, I was 18. I didn't never release anything till last year, 2022. Mm-hmm.
And so you're just holding on to stuff.
Yes, because the one thing I did care about was, like, the quality and stuff like that. And I just wanted to practice. And it would be moments where I was feeling like, oh, like, I'm taking too long to drop. Mm-hmm. Like, people are not going to even, like, when I drop, people are going to be like, what is she doing? I never heard she went to do music before. Like, whole time I was doing this all behind the scenes and for a while. But I'm like, shit, like, once I got more confident in my writing is when I was like, okay, I'm a release. But before then, I was just like, I felt like I had, like, writer's block. And I felt like whenever I wrote, I wasn't vibing with it myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, if I'm not vibing with it, I want to like my music first. That's what I want to like my music first before I can. Because then, okay, people are going to have opinions. But as long as I know, like, I'm like listening to this shit. Yeah. Then, because I don't know. But I feel like maybe everybody feel like that. And that's why they release. But I don't know. Like, for me personally, I would go in the studio because my brother had a studio in his crib at one point. So I would go in there whenever and just record stuff. It would not be like mixed, mastered, or nothing. And I would just listen to it over and over. And I would just be like, something's missing. Like, this don't, I don't feel passionate about this. Like, this is cool. And like, it's not, I'm not saying it wasn't good or anything like that. But it's just like, I don't feel like I'm going to show this to the world right now. Okay. And then once I start, I feel like the main thing was I had to experience something that made me feel passionate. In my writing, like I had to, like at the time I was experiencing stuff and I was writing about the things that I was going through, but nothing that was like really like heart wrenching to the point where I'm like, I'm leaving it all out, like I'm going in the studio and being like, oh, like and once I had that experience that was like, okay, like I'm raging or something like that, that's when I was like, yeah, I'll fuck with this, like I feel like other people would too, like because you could feel my passion in it.
Is that the moment where like you started, I guess, like sort of sharing your art with the world, like where you're starting to send it out to more people and sort of put it out there a lot more.
Yeah, I was just about to ask that. Like when you caught the stride, you're like, yeah, I'm fucking with this.
I felt like, okay, I felt passionate about it at that time. So I feel like other people would be able to connect with it better. So I feel like, if, like I said, I feel like if you like your stuff, then somebody else going to like it too. And I feel like that's why I started to release more at that time.
I wanted to ask you too, something I always ask our guests, but how did you get the name BB Subi? Is that something you came up with or was it kind of given to you by your friends and family? Or tell us a little bit about that origin.
So BB Subi, my name is Subira. That's my real name. And everybody calls me Subi. So since I was little, everybody called me Subi. I started telling everybody to only call me Subi like when I went to high school because I ain't want nobody to fuck up my name. So I'm like, Eric, just call me Subi. Just call me Subi. So everybody pretty much knew me as Subi. And then my friends started calling me BB. So I just added it to BB Subi. I just put it together.
Oh, okay, for sure.
And I was thinking like BB would be cool because people could make, like I could make different meanings to it. Like, like it could be considered baby Subi. It could be considered beautiful Subi. Like it could be considered all of this different type of stuff. Like I haven't made no specific like acronyms for it, but
you got room to play around.
It's very unique when you type it in, you know, it's
exactly, it's marketable like that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Also, you know, like, you know, the Subi jeans, I actually got on Subi jeans right now.
On brand.
I'm like, they stole my fucking flow, but I looked up, I think they was made like a year before I was born. So I'm like, whatever. But But I thought that would be on brand too. Like maybe people would think that I've named myself after some designer or something like that. But really it's my name, but like
that's tough.
I was thinking that would be cool too if people thought about it like that too.
That's even tougher. Then people are like, yeah, damn, that's my that's her actual name. Like, that's her raw. But I wanna bring up the track G-Shock.
Oh bro, do you see the hat?
Yeah. Let's bring up that. Like, how'd that track come about? And I like the cover art that you had and everything. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And you know, Nick, he made that cover art. But man, I don't really know. Like, I was just trying to find some new, like, as far as the beat and stuff, I was trying to find some new sounds that I liked that I could rap on that was still considered alternative. I was feeling like I want to do all the genres that I want to do but make it alternative. So I was just searching up beats and stuff like that. I end up finding a beat, and a lot of times that's what I do. I like find a beat that I like and then I'll start writing to it. So that's basically what happened. And shit, at the time of my life, I was feeling like somebody was playing with me. So I said, hey, like, you know, my first bad bitch. And I always, and you know, like the way I write sometimes, I just think about like phrases that I've said before or like stuff that I've thought about before. And I've always said that, like, I always say stuff, certain stuff like that, like, Man, you're not the first one. Like, you're not, you did not do me in. You wasn't the first heartbreak for real. Like, I've had plenty before that. It's like, yeah, this is little shit to me. Like, and maybe it did hurt the soul a little bit, but it's like, that makes me feel better. Like, that makes me feel better to say that. So, shit. So that's how it all started. And then with that too, I was like focused on like talking about a situation that happened, but also talking about myself. Because I feel like a lot of times where I used to write, I used to talk about somebody else and what they did and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I started listening to the writers that I enjoy, and they talk about other people in their songs, but a lot of times they keep it back to themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you did me wrong, but I'm glowed up and I'm doing me. Like, and I really wanted to like work on like my writing in that way too. Like, it could be about me. Like, this could be about me. And I feel like other people connect with that too more, because it's like, if they listen to the song as if it was them, they like, this about me too. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's how the song really got like created.
What made you give it the name G-Shock?
So in the song, I say, why you shocked how fast I got a new one? And me and my best friends, I got 3 best friends since 4th grade. We all got G-Shocks, and we just be taking pictures like this with the stuff.
Oh, that's
and,
tough.
Yeah, so it was already on my mind. Yeah. And I was thinking, like, I'll just name it G-Shock. And, like, it's like G. Even if you put, like, G-Shock, like, I'm a G and you're shocked. Like, it's just different things I was thinking about when I was making the name. And then I was thinking, like, it would be cool to, like, bring that back type shit. Like, because I remember 1-1 when I was little, I was a kid. Yeah. Like, my brothers would have that shit and I would 1-1-2. And, like, I think it's always cool to like bring the past to the future.
Hell yeah,
because
yeah.
People will resonate with it more, and like, oh, people gonna click on it just because that shit say G-Shock.
Right.
Hell so yeah, that's why I decided to name it that.
And it's like, it could be like a part of like branding too and shit.
Hell
like
yeah.
That. Yeah, that make a lot of sense.
Right, like wait, one day maybe they'll sponsor me.
The G-Shock,
right.
Exactly. Deal, right? Yeah,
sponsor me, G-Shock. Mm-hmm.
Tap in.
Tap the fuck in. But that's a track on your new project, Stardust. So yeah. Like, just explain that, like, you know, break down like the meaning.
Man, so Stardust. Like when I
and also cover art cool as hell too.
Thank
like,
you.
You know, you're killing on the cover art.
Okay, I got multiple things to say about this, but first off, Stardust. I feel like the reason why I named it Stardust is because when I was listening to my music before I even had all the tracks finished, I was like thinking like this stuff is sounding kind of like futuristic, kind of like dreamy a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe futuristic and dreamy, maybe like sparkly. Like, I didn't know how to describe it. And I was telling my friends, like, I was telling my brother, my older brother, and my friends, I'm like, I need help because I want my stuff to, I want it to sound like how the music sounds. I want the title to sound like how the music sounds. So I was thinking, like, we had a lot of different options that we was coming up with. Some pixie dust, some this. Oh, like, I think that's what I told them. I wanted it to say something about pixie dust. And then, like, this year, I don't know, it's been about stars for me. So I literally got stars tatted on me this year. Like, I've been wearing a lot of star clothing and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, maybe we could do something with stars, since that's been, like, my vibe this year. And that's when I've been writing over the span of the year type shit. So I was thinking that about the stars and stuff like that. And my best friend said that I should add some type of, I should say star dusk, because dusk means like the end of something. And I feel like we was closing out a chapter with this EP, tape type shit. So that's how it came together. So star dusk is like stars in the sky and like the end of something and putting a close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's dope. Cause like all the tracks are like you said, like when you break it down, like you said, like alternative in your own way.
Yeah.
Because you know, you do got some R&B vibes on there, you do got some, you know, vibes on there. You spin some bars too. And then, you know, it's all with the alternative, you know, vibe. And I think that's dope. And then you in the track, you in the project with Venus, right?
Yeah.
And that track was dope. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, intergalactic. That's the word that I was looking for. Oh, like yeah. That one especially, Venus especially, mm-hmm. it got like an intergalactic type of sound to it.
Yeah, and it, yeah. And you feel like it just like kind of ended it perfect. Like yeah. It's, you know, definitely like flowed well. Like what do you feel like is like the most like, you know, I guess important track on there, like your favorite?
Man, that's a hard question. Important?
Or just like your favorite?
My favorite is going to be P.S. I love P.S. I don't know why. Like, mm-hmm. I just felt like that, like, I wrote that in like an hour almost. Like, I really wrote that shit like in an hour or two.
Is that long or short for you?
Short.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Like, because it be taking me a couple days sometimes to finish a song. Like, maybe like not that long, like it won't take me super long to create a song if I'm really like focused in on it, but like an hour, I've never finished a song in an hour. Like it was just flowing too well. And then when I got in the studio, I was just feeling real vibey. And then like hearing it complete, I was just like, I never heard myself sound like this before. And I feel like that was the first time I rapped in my lower register, and I liked how I sound in that way. So yeah, I fuck with it. And like, I don't know. It made me feel like, I don't know if this too much of a topic, but it kind of gave me some gender euphoria type shit with that shit, because sometimes I'd be feeling like a little more masculine in my masculine bag. And in that song, I was feeling more masculine type shit. And I feel like it was cool to be able to express that in a song, right. And like other people being able to listen to it, because like a whole bunch of guys was hitting me up about that song saying like how this the track for the niggas type shit. And I'm like, man, I don't know what you're doing, what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about, but like, I get it, because that's how I was feeling. Like, I was in my bag, like, yeah, I'm a real nigga in this bitch. So, yeah, I feel like that's my favorite song, because I feel like in my glow the most in that song.
Okay, it makes you feel good.
Yeah. But I like other songs on there. I would say All Nighter.
Yeah, that's because, one of my. That's, I got that one written down. That's one of my favorite slaps.
For sure, I think that one might be the most important song. That song was one of the songs where I realized that I could write about other people and not myself, like because the song was inspired by somebody else that I knew who was telling me situations and like stuff, and she was like, "Make a song about something, like anything that you feel like I would write." And I was like, oh, okay. So that was the first time I ever wrote from somebody else's perspective. And I thought that it was pretty cool. It still had like probably pieces of me in it, of course. But I'm like, I was thinking about her, and I was writing it specifically, like trying to think about her story. And also, I just feel like that was one of my most lyrically, like metaphor-wise, like songs that I felt like it was good. I don't know how to describe that, but yeah, and I really enjoy the sound, the beat and stuff like
I fucked with that. I got All Nighter, G-Shock and Seeing Roses.
G-Shock, of course, that was a single. I dropped that before the tape, and then Seeing Roses, me and Icy went up on that.
Those are my for sure favorites. But we got just two questions left. Okay. So what do you feel like is like kind of like the hardest thing about being an artist, you know, like if you could just pinpoint just something, because like you're obviously doing well, you know. I feel like what's like kind of like the hardest like thing, you know, I guess that you learned so far, you feel
me? I think the hardest thing really is just like being consistent, because if you are not like making money off of it yet, it's kind of hard to continue to do it. You have to be really passionate about it and really have faith in yourself and really believe in yourself to do it, because it's really an investment for real. Like you really have to put in your money for it. Like I damn near, the first EP that I dropped, I went broke off that shit. I only had five songs on there. I was just going to work. Every check that I got, I was part-time working too. Every check that I got, I was going to the studio. Mm-hmm. Every check, I was going to the studio. Because, and I had to block other people out. I couldn't really date because, like, I'm not going to be able to pay for nothing.
Right,
I could only pay for myself and invest in myself. Yeah, and I feel like that's something that people don't really talk about with like making music. I feel like people be trying to flex sometimes. Not everybody, and I'm not trying to be
negative.
They
just don't want to talk.
People don't want to talk about that part of it. And it's like, shit, I'm going to talk about it because I don't care. Like, I went broke in 2022. No.
I'll bounce back.
Right, bounce back. But for sure, like, and I think that would be, like, just, like, telling yourself, like, this is for a greater cause. This is for the greater cause. Yeah. Even if you're not seeing the streams right away off that shit, like, it's for a greater cause because you feel good about this. This feels good to you. You know this is your path. This is your way of life right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you're still affecting people, no matter how small that is. And if you keep working at something, you only going to get better.
Yeah.
That plain and simple, you're only going to get better.
I agree. And you see it.
Yeah, for real. And the last question we wanted to ask you is like, kind of like, what's the goals kind of like for next year? Like, what do you want to do? You feel me? Because you already ended this year out, you know, pretty well. So like, what do you want
to
do?
I really want to drop another single before the year is over.
Oh, okay.
So I guess that's exclusive.
Okay. Yeah, let's get it.
Sneak peek.
But for next year, for sure, like, I really, since I dropped two tapes or whatever, so I feel like next year, I really want to just focus on dropping, like, consistently. So, singles and, like, features with people. So, next year, I might not do a tape. Maybe I will do a tape if I'm inspired enough to do one. But I really think, like, right now, I'm just want to focus on, like, just getting heard more and, and I feel like the best way for me to do that is being like consistent as fuck. Like if that means dropping like once a month, dropping every couple weeks, like that's what I want to try to attempt to do next year. Cause I just really want people to see like I'm not taking no breaks off this shit.
Right. And like you said, it don't matter if it's a week or a month, just write it down. If that's what you want to do, just
stay consistent.
Just stay consistent, bro. But we appreciate you.
I appreciate y'all. Thank you. I think this is a great space for new underground artists and all type of shit. Like, I really appreciate y'all, what y'all doing for the city of Chicago, for real.
No, 100.
That means
we'll
a lot.
We'll end on that note. Fresh Flowers Podcast. BBC. Appreciate you. We out.
Tap in. Stardust out now. Go get that.
Let's get it. Bow, bow, bow.
Scooter. Oh, yeah, that was a good episode. Get my water. Thanks for holding down the cameras, my guy.
I got you.